Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So how much cap flexibility do you have right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting tighter. Obviously, you know, adding Taylor to the group, Taylor Rapp, I mean, and we're still looking at some other pieces. We're not done with free agency. We're still trying to fill some holes so that, again, we don't go into the draft, you know, feeling, gosh, we got to get player, you know, position X by a certain time.
Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean at the NFL owners meetings in Arizona from last week. The draft is really interesting to me with Buffalo this year. I think overall I'm very interested in this draft class because I don't really love any of the prospects in it, which is kind of weird for me. I definitely by this point, I've developed a huge draft crush on a few players. You know, last year I was all in on guys like Christian Watson out of North Dakota State, plays for Green Bay now. And I'll usually go through a few of them. But this year, I'm kind of watching the class. I like a few players. I'm not against the Bills getting a number of guys. But overall, it seems to just be a not very talented class, which is frustrating if you're a Bills fan, because we've got to a point now where a lot of us want that wide receiver. We want the high draft capital used on a guy that's going to help the offense, that is going to definitively help Josh Allen. He will be a key part in helping Allen. But I just don't know about this class. You know, even if a guy like a Jordan Addison out of USC or Zay Flowers out of Boston College, who, I mean, he's taken, it feels like, 7 visits to the Patriots, so he's probably getting taken at 14 by the Patriots. But you look at some of these guys, and I'm like, oh, they'll be pretty good. They'll be all right. And I'm, you know, probably wrong on half these guys. But just my feeling on the draft now is just, eh. Jack Campbell, the linebacker out of Iowa, is maybe the guy I like the most. Because like Brandon Bean kind of said in there, they don't really want to draft for need. They want to just get to a point where they can just take best player available. Well, they really haven't done that at linebacker. It's a lot like last year's cornerback discussion, which, you know, at a certain point, outside of, you know, a few people were still, you know, mocking Breece Hall out of Iowa State to the Bills, running back who's now with the Jets, and a few people here and there would be able to get a receiver there. For the most part, a lot, and I mean a lot of mock drafts, especially in that last week, cornerback, 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 and eventually it is Kyer Elam out of Florida that winds up with Buffalo. But this year, it's just, we're still not at a consensus. But the one position that just it's glowing obnoxiously in my head is linebacker. And it's not a guy like a Drew Sanders out of Arkansas who is more of an edge-rushing presence. I would say a lot sexier of a pick because he had 9.5 sacks in the SEC and he's a little versatile. But not really kind of a stay-at-home coverage linebacker that the Bills like to have as their middle linebacker and really just edge or just rush the passer up the middle. That would be a Jack Campbell. But he comes in as well. 6'5", over 240 pounds, moves really well. I wouldn't say necessarily has the ceiling that Edmonds had when he had coming out of Virginia Tech. Very few players do. But, you know, Brett Coleman joined Chilton the Bulldog earlier this week on Monday and kind of said, like, if you put him next to Matt Milano, the defense may not take a step back. You know, he's that polished coming into the NFL. I would be for Jack Campbell at 27th overall. I think because, in part, it's just he might be the player that does the most for the Bills in kind of a bang for your buck kind of idea. That he comes in, is really, really good, and you don't really have to worry about the position anymore. But I've always been a defender of drafting wide receiver in the first round. But with this class, I'm so much more comfortable in the second, third, maybe even fourth round with guys like Jaden Reed out of Michigan State, Josh Downs out of North Carolina. Darryl Wright is somebody as well who I'd like to see the Bills kind of target in the first round. Offensive tackle out of Tennessee, right tackle out of Tennessee. Spencer Brown, he left a lot to be desired. Maybe it was due to injuries. But it could also just be, he's just not that guy. That there is potential there, they're just not able to hone in on it. But this going into April 27th, I'm just going to have four or five guys that I'm going to be decently okay if the Bills take. Where last year I was like, it's the position, I'm fine, but I'm not going to jump for joy that it was Elam. I really only started liking the Elam pick when stuff came out, when he was meeting the Bills and he had a notebook and you could see how much McDermott was just, you know, oohing and aahing about him and stuff like that. That's when I really started to kind of come around to just Kyer Elam specifically. I was fine with the position, I just didn't know really enough about Elam. This year it's different. It really is like four or five guys. Darryl Wright, of course. Osiris Torrence is a guard out of Florida. I don't really know if they're going to go guard, but if they did, I'm not against him as a player at all. Jordan Addison, the wide receiver out of USC. Zay Flowers, the wide receiver out of Boston College. And then, of course, Jack Campbell. Like, there's a number of guys here that I'd be okay with. And I've heard all of them over and over and over again. Maybe outside of Osiris Torrence, he was more before the combine, after free agency. Now that the Bills have kind of done a lot more room with their guards, it makes more sense to kind of move away from him. I get that. I'm fine with that. But just, I don't know. This draft class is weird. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 803-0550. Who's the player that is grabbing you this year? I don't have that guy. I just don't have that guy. I hear running back all the time with the Bills. Cannot fathom that one. I cannot understand it. I love Bijan Robinson. I am a Texas fan. I think a lot of you know that. I do not want Bijan Robinson on the Bills. I just don't. It's not that it's a wasted pick for me. I'm not going to go that far and say that it's a wasted pick. I just do not think at all that the Bills would use him correctly. I just don't. You'd have to give him 20-plus rushing attempts per game, plus also throwing the ball to him, which was a whole thing last year that the Bills seemingly had as many running backs who could catch the ball out of the backfield as possible and couldn't use any of them correctly. Don't really know where that came from, but that's still a huge question mark that has not been answered yet, is why is Nyheim Hines and James Cook, and even you can go back to J.D. McKissic in free agency, you know, when they wanted to go get him. Duke Johnson even was a guy that was kind of brought up for this as well. Why are none of these guys being used in that way? And that's where, for me, to get the most out of Bijan Robinson, that's what you're going to have to do. And I just don't see him doing it. And that's okay. That's fine. But then that's where I can't understand. We got to get Bijan Robinson. I can't even say if it's to take carries away from Allen. Damian Harris will do that. James Cook, I actually really am excited to see this year if he can maybe be a 1A back. He came in initially as just sort of this guy that, you know, he's a second-round pick. He's actually really a receiver at Georgia, but I guess he played running back. I really liked what Cook was offering from the backfield at the end of last year. I really was into it. But with the kind of, you know, ball carriers by committee, we weren't really able to fully see Cook kind of be that guy. Now we might be able to, especially with, you know, a guy like Damian Harris being much more of a, you know, short yardage, red zone kind of guy. I like what the running back room looks like for the Bills. I don't really know if they need to add anybody else. And if you go Bijan Robinson, are you saying that like all the holes are filled for the Bills? There's nothing else needed? That's what you need to do. And going back to some of these teams who have taken running backs in round one because they have no other needs. The big one that comes to mind for me is Kansas City. Right after winning the Super Bowl, they draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU. He was on that loaded LSU team with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and of course him leading the way running the ball. He's been a non-factor for a lot of his career. He has been a complete non-factor for a lot of it. Isaiah Pacheco out of the seventh round ends up being a better or at least more serviceable running back than he was. And even then, if you're going to add to the running back room, there's other guys you can get in the third, fourth round that might do the job better or just as good as a Bijan Robinson would have out of Texas. Zach Charbonnet out of UCLA. Tajay Spears out of Tulane. There's a number of guys there that it's a fun topic to discuss with fantasy football, with running backs. Because a lot of them, it doesn't really matter what round they're picked in. Just look at camp. Look how much they're starting. They may be the starting running back come day one. Didn't really matter where they were drafted. In terms of actual NFL football, I can't get behind it at all. Wide receiver, I'm here for. Tight end is an interesting one. Tight end is a fun one to talk about. Because before, it was Darrell Washington, the backup tight end out of Georgia, athletic monster, 6'7", you know, 260 pounds, moved like he was 200 pounds, had a beautiful one-handed catch at the combine. His athleticism is off the charts. And the Bills, while they have Dawson Knox under contract, it's kind of like up in the air if like that's really their future there. I like Knox. I just haven't seen enough from him to think that he is like their tight end one of the future, present, and all that stuff. I just haven't gotten there yet. He's interesting. Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame. Dalton Kincaid out of Utah is maybe the quietest riser of any position in this draft class, partially because he's not working out. He's dealing with a back injury, a small fracture he had in the Pac-12 championship game against USC. So he hasn't really been able to work out at all this whole pre-draft process, and he's just kind of quietly rising up the board. I've seen a lot of people like him more than Mayer, who, you know, he's kind of been a first round tight end for years now, it's felt like. It's just this draft class as a whole, I just cannot get a read on it. I've talked about it for a few weeks now, but I'll even be surprised at who goes number one. Like it's gotten to that point. I don't even know who Carolina's going to go for. Because ultimately, it should be Anthony Richardson, if you're asking me. It should be Richardson. With all the ceiling ability, you have Frank Reich as your head coach. He still has the mantra around him that he's a quarterback whisperer. He's a guy you kind of want there to be, you know, with your young quarterback developing him. He'll actually finally get one because when he was in Indy, it was essentially, we'll waste like a second or third round pick on a quarterback that we have no future in. But we're actually going to give you, you know, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Jacoby Brissett, you know, stuff like that. He'd finally have this guy. And there's some reports as well that are saying that he prefers him over guys like Stroud and Bryce Young. But is that what they're going to want to do? You look at the draft order. And for the quarterbacks, I think there's a good chance that the first four picks are quarterbacks. If Arizona trades out of three. Maybe with a team like a Tennessee Titans would be a lot of fun. I've seen a few mocks where Tennessee winds up trading to three. Carolina, I think out of all the top four teams, is the best team for Richardson. I talked about in the first hour, Richardson potentially, you know, because Jody Biasi for the Extra Point Show brought up the idea that maybe New England could be in on him. If he ended up in New England, his career to me is dead in the water. I can't see them developing him at all. At all. Carolina, I think, could develop him the best. You come in with an offensive-minded head coach. There's probably some patience there because Frank Reich was a big-time hire by Carolina. And if you get Richardson, you've probably explained to the owner, hey, this is going to take some time, but if we get there, just look at what guys like Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are doing. Herbert was not nearly as raw as I think a lot of us thought he was coming out of Oregon, but it's sort of the same mantra. And Richardson is on the same tier as Allen in terms of an athlete. He is actually faster than Allen. He is 6'5", 240, with a bazooka of an arm. I think Allen's got a slightly stronger arm, but it is absolutely warranted, the comparisons. Absolutely. But when you look at Josh Allen's progression, let's you know, rewind here a bit. Go back to his rookie year or second year and watch some of his highlights throwing the ball compared to year three and year four. He had to completely, and he's talked about this, completely change his throwing motion, completely change his mechanics. He had to change almost everything about him as a passer to get to where he is now. And it has absolutely worked. But that does take a special person that is willing to sit there and meticulously pick apart everything they've done for years that got them to being a first-round pick, to then be like, yeah, but to succeed, you're going to have to do these 15 things completely different. And you're going to have to do it so much that it becomes muscle memory. That is exhausting for any athlete in any sport. And it does take a little bit of a crazy person to do it. You have to have that drive. I don't know Richardson personally. I don't know Allen personally either, but I've seen Allen do it. I have no idea if Richardson's going to be able to. I'd like to think that he can, though, because he is the kind of quarterback I want to see in the NFL now. I don't care for the Mac Joneses of the world. Or, you know, going back a few years here, Baker Mayfield even. I like the guys like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence. They can move. They've got freak intangibles. It's no longer just, you know, throw a guy back there. Can you stand in the pocket and deliver a pass? No, you have to be one of the best athletes on your team to be successful. That's the kind of quarterbacks I want now in the NFL. Will it make the Bills' job harder to win? Yeah, probably. Almost without a doubt. But if Richardson goes to the NFC, I'm fine with it. Good. Go. I'm happy for you. But Richardson's kind of the only guy I have that feeling for in this class. I'm not a big Will Levis guy at all. I think the comps for Allen to Richardson are more fair than Will Levis and Allen. There's not much I can grab onto with Levis outside of that he's got a whip for an arm. And that's kind of about it. He's also going to be, I think, 25 his rookie year. That immediately is a huge red flag for me, unless you're I thought Joe Burrow was near complete prospect when he came out of LSU, so I was willing to look past the fact that he was 23, 24 in his rookie year. Levis is going to be 25. I can't get behind that at all. But you look at the other two teams, Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. I'm moving off of Arizona for a bit here. We're just going to assume they trade that pick.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What is Houston looking for in a quarterback if they go that way? Which I think they will. I think Bryce Young is probably the pick there. If you had to ask me for one, I would say Bryce Young. And when I look at Houston, the thing they most desperately need is not star power. It's not this guy that's going to take 2 or 3 years to really get the most out of him, and you're really just hoping that the legs can get him through the first 2 years. No, they need stability. They need that guy that can just come in, do the job, great on the mic. You don't have to worry about him saying the wrong thing, anything. You can just throw him out there, and he's great. That's Bryce Young. His size is a huge concern. That is a fact. He's 5'10 and skinny in terms of, you know, NFL players. That is a concern. And I fully understand if teams have somewhat written him off because of his size. Totally get it, and I'm all for it. But he brings in exactly what you want. Won a Heisman Trophy. Really good as a PR guy. Brings in the stability that organization has desperately needed for years. D'Amico Ryans is their third head coach in 3 years. I mean, that's all they need. They don't need a guy that has to come in and develop slowly and you're kind of, you know, putting your neck out there drafting them. They super don't need that. It is the guy I want. If I was Carolina, that is the guy I would want. But if you're the Houston Texans, that is probably the last guy you want to draft, because it is all up to, do you believe in your coaching staff? Do you believe in the timetable you have to develop that guy? That is what Richardson is. It is a complete, we believe in every single thing we have here. I think Carolina should have that with Frank Reich. Houston, I like D'Amico Ryans. It's just more the past 6 years of that franchise. I'm just like, ooh. That's not the guy I'd go to at all. Going to go to the phones. We've got David on the line. David, welcome to the show, my man. How you doing today?
Hey, good. Two things I want to say. Number one, my son's fiance went to Florida, mm-hmm. So I ended up watching a lot of Florida's games this year, and Anthony Richardson, I'd say in three-quarters of those games, was horrible. In fact, he even got benched a couple times during the season. He is going to take a quarterback whisperer. I understand he's got, you know, great physical traits and whatever, but, you know, he made terrible, terrible decisions a lot of times with where to go with to the ball. He was very inaccurate, and I think he's a big gamble. The other point I wanted to make, and I've called before, talked to the morning guys and Schulte and the Bulldog about this, I don't think he's going to be there because I don't think 26 other teams are going to be that dumb. But if Bijan Robinson is there at 27, I don't see how we cannot take him. The guy is a game changer. He will make Josh Allen's life so much easier. And, you know, if you're worried about the running back room, trade Cook or Hines and get another second-round pick and get your linebacker or your offensive lineman or whatever. I cannot. If they get Bijan Robinson, I will be ecstatic.
Well, and David, real quick, before you go, just a real quick question on the Bijan point, because you're right. He is a game-changing running back. He is phenomenal. As a Texas fan, he's one of my favorite players that I've ever watched at that university. But are you, as a Bills fan, are you willing to take away throws from Allen so that Bijan can get 20, 25-plus carries? Because, that's the best. Like, that's how you get the most out of him, is to get him a ton of touches. And are you willing to do that to bring him in?
What's going to happen is you're not going to take away Josh's throws. What you're going to take away are his scrambles and his design runs. I hate when they do design runs for Josh. I just don't want to see him take that beating. And many times, you know, it's for minimal gain. That's what I need Bijan Robinson for. If he gets me 100 to 120 yards a game and 12 to 15 touchdowns this year, then yes, I'm willing to take a few throws a game away from Josh Allen for that.
All right, David, thanks for the call. And I just, I cannot get there. I cannot get there that I'm going to change my offense. I'm going to take throws away from Allen. I hear your point on that you don't like him taking hits. I get that. I think we've got to come to the realization here. Likely, Allen is not going to play till he's 41, 42 years old. He is not Tom Brady. I also don't think Patrick Mahomes is playing past, you know, the age of 38. I think that era of quarterback doing that is kind of about done. These guys are athletes. You can't rein them in. I know that, you know, McDermott and Bean have talked about it. They want him to take less hits. I think that's more, at least with Bean, he had a piece on SiriusXM that he was just more, it was more he wanted him to take, it felt like to me at least, take less hits early on in the season. That when it's late, when we need a win, I get it. But I think they just wanted him to not, like, be a crazy person on, you know, second down in week two. I think that's the scenario he used. But if that's the whole reason you're going to use number 27th overall, when we have a desperate need at linebacker, when the receiver room outside of Diggs is a big question mark, and even at right tackle, if Darryl Wright is there from Tennessee, that might be the guy I most want. I can't get there with Bijan Robinson, especially when you're seeing a lot of these teams, the successful ones, are just not spending high picks on running backs. They're just not. Even the Eagles, they drafted Miles Sanders. They let him walk. That's a thing, too, that we've got to talk about. Bijan Robinson, so we're going to get him here for 3-4 years before he leaves? Because they're not going to pay him that big money. He's got a first-round contract. And then, just based on how this team is operated, you're not bringing him back. You're just going to let him walk? I'd much rather spend that first-round pick on a middle linebacker who, hopefully this time, the cap room will allow for it. You can bring them back on a 5-6-year deal like you did Milano, or a right tackle that just becomes a main fixture on your offensive line. Because, David, I'll tell you, man, you fix that offensive line, a lot of the needless hits for Josh goes away. Not the running back. You can do that with James Cook and Damian Harris. If that offensive line becomes more stable and a better group, then you're getting a better and more healthy Josh Allen. But even then, he's not really getting injured on these rollouts. He's not getting injured on these design runs. It is staying in the pocket. That is where most of these injuries happen. It is when they're staying in the pocket and they get hit from the blind side, a guy falls on their knee or their ankle. That's when these are happening. Most of the time when they're running, they're not even taking very big hits. A few times a season, Josh will get pushed out really hard. He might take a big hit, or he actively seeks out contact, but not nearly enough that I think he's really taking a huge beating. All of his injuries have come from in the pocket. His elbow injuries specifically have come in the pocket. So for me, it's going to be a no-go on Bijan. And I throw that to Jahmyr Gibbs out of Alabama as well. It's going to be a no-go for me on running back. I will not be happy with that pick. I feel it'll be a waste, and the Bills, I don't think, if they drafted Bijan Robinson, it will not just be for a few carries here and there to take it away from Josh. Because ultimately, you're not taking that from Josh anyways. He will do that. That is who he is. He might change as he gets older, maybe. But that is who he is as a player. And if you bring in Bijan Robinson, you are going to take plays away from Josh Allen. And I'm sorry, I cannot get behind that. Going to take a quick timeout. We're still taking your calls. Lines are open at 803-0550. One Bills Live has the day off. I'm Zach Jones, and you're listening to WGR.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the puck's going at the end of the day. You're never going to play a perfect game. And so, you know, it's NHL's best league in the world. So you kind of just flip the page. It's going to happen. And, you know, you got to love it. It's a little bit of adversity. It's not going to kill you. So, you know, just going into overtime, still have an opportunity to win the game. Going to shootout, opportunity to win the game. So it's just looking at opportunities rather than missed opportunities.
Sabres rookie goaltender Devon Levi following last night's 7-6 shootout win over the Detroit Red Wings. The man is a crazy person. Like, I can vividly see him smiling when he's talking about going through adversity and, like, letting 6 goals in because he's like, cool, I get to, like, you know, make up for this and all that. Like, he's just the kid's mentality is so different.
He was smiling. He had a huge smile on his face.
He's a crazy person. I say that with all the love in the world. He is such a distinctly different athlete from a lot of 21-year-olds you see who I think a lot of time, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but a lot of 21-year-olds or 20-year-olds or just even rookies in professional sports do need to be coddled a bit more. They need to be told how good they're doing. And it feels like Levi, like, would so much rather like start like a coaching session of like everything he did poorly. Like, he'd almost never like to hear the things he did well. He's like, no, just tell me how bad I was and let's move on. And like, it's a fascinating mindset for a guy like him to have, so young and yet just so polished, and he is remarkably disciplined between the pipes. He's so technically sound. I've said it a few times. It boggles my mind how much confidence I have in him and net just through three games. I never once have really sat here and thought, all right, the moment's too big for him. He's falling off. I've never felt that way. And it's been really, really a fun thing to watch. I'm going to the game tomorrow against Carolina, and I hope and pray that he is in net tomorrow. Because I desperately want to see him play a game before next year. Me and my dad were talking about it. We're going tomorrow, and we're both the same way. Like, I hope it's Levi. We were actually disappointed. He was in net last night. So it's like, oh, he might not be able to play, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited. Got some tweets coming in as well, just about the Sabre season. How are we feeling after this season is effectively wrapping up? We've got about five games here. Playoffs look to be all but gone. Money Puck, I think, has been a 0.8%. We also have a scenario for them to get knocked out on Saturday, and that is if the Florida Panthers or the New York Islanders do win in regulation, or excuse me, win at all, and Buffalo loses to Carolina in regulation. So it's starting to look like this is kind of it. But we do have a tweet coming in from Edward saying, they definitely did better than I thought they were going to do. Even though I wanted Kevin Adams to put his foot on the gas a couple of times this year, I'm also happy he didn't. The young core, or the young group coming up together, is going to be amazing the next couple of years. And that, to me, is the big takeaway. This year is painful. We all want the drought to end. This drought has been, to me at least, in terms of actual product on the field and or ice, is worse than the Bills won. The Bills, they were just mediocrity. They just could not get out of their own way. They couldn't find a quarterback. They were dealing with Tom Brady, the whole thing. This, you can make a real argument, and I probably would not fault you for it. They were the worst team in North American sports. I like that. Like, that's, to me, where it was so difficult with the Sabres. And I can understand why the fan base was at points apathetic. And we're just now getting to a point where KeyBank Arena is starting to fill up with people, and there's an excitement in the air. They were awful. They were so, so bad. And now that it's turning around like this, where it is, it feels like a 180, is why, like, you can hear it in the tone of my voice. I'm getting excited to talk about this team. And I'm somebody who, for a long time, it was tough for me to get into hockey. I was too young for the Danny Briere and Chris Drury era to really have distinct memories of it. So for a lot of my Sabres life, it has been, oh, we're bad. And that has been, that's a tough place as a little kid to develop a love for a sport, especially something that is a bit smaller like hockey. Like, football was kind of easy. I just, I love wide receivers. I love watching them play. If I was any slightly more athletic than I am, I would have tried to do that in high school and maybe even in college. But, it is what it is. Baseball, I'm into it because, my team, I root for the Angels, has Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Like, we could be awful, which we are most years. Still fun. Like, I could still, at 9:39, I'm like, I'll probably watch those two crazy people do something.
Boy, that must have been difficult for you when you were in the mornings.
Oh, Evan.
Watching Angels games?
How many games did I actually watch last year? Unless it was like on a Saturday at 4:00. I essentially didn't watch games. I would wake up in the morning, go to MLB Network, and check the highlights real quick. And a lot of times it was in here, it was in the studio. I would just put, I think it's Quick Pitch. I would throw that on and just watch the highlights. And that was really about it, which was frustrating because at one point last year, before the 12-game losing streak where Joe Maddon gets fired and all that stuff, we're 27-17. Like, I was having like serious conversations with my buddy who's a New York Yankees fan. I'm like, bro, we're going to see you in the playoffs, baby. Like, you just need to get ready. And then the 12-game losing streak happened. He's like, what happened? And I'm like, oh, things happened. So, it's tough. But, yeah, my schedule has absolutely allowed me to watch more baseball. I think I've watched every game so far, which I'm very stunned in myself. It's taken a lot of discipline, but I'm very happy with it. I'm very happy where I'm at. But, so, back to the Sabres point, though. That's my thing. It's just like, there wasn't a ton to grab onto. And I'm going to go into a dark place, so bear with me. No pitchforks, please.
Oh, boy.
But that was what was so exciting about the Jack Eichel period before he was on the team. Because it was like, or I wouldn't even say just Jack Eichel. It was the tank. Because it was like,
we have a chance to get a once-in-a-generational.
There's something I can grab onto. There's something here where it's like, there we go. Now it's exciting again. And for me, and as I brought up, it was tougher for me because I don't have those memories of 06, 07. I was, you know, 7, 8 years old, and in all seriousness, I couldn't ice skate, so I hated hockey. Like, I still can't ice skate. I'm better in the water. When it freezes, we have problems.
I kind of just work off. I can kind of rollerblade. So
can't
I
can't even do that. Zero balance.
It's the same. It feels like the same principles with rollerblading.
I watch any of these players do any sort of six stops, and my jaw hits the floor.
Literally, how I stop is by running into the boards.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The only way I'm I can ice good, skate like, is I hang on to the wall and I just kind of and I walk. I don't skate. I walk. It's a painful experience.
I was gonna say, or you just get that little.
I have way more pride than that. I have way more pride than to get the walker. I will just hang on to the edge. But so during that period, it was so much fun because it was like, hey, there's something to grab on here. I remember I was at a I swam most of my entire life, and I was at a banquet, and it was me, a bunch of the guys I swam with, and all of the dads huddling around their phones as the draft lottery was happening. And, you know, we get second, and it's like, okay, well, it's no Connor McDavid, but we're going to get Jack Eichel. And then I have these memories, too, of, like, you know, McDavid looking furious that he was winding up in Edmonton, and I took pride in that. Or, like, the Eichel video when he was at Boston University, and he's Buffalo and come for you. I took enormous pride in that, and it went poorly pretty much from then on. It did not go well. But now you see this team, and there's a reason I could just grab onto these guys that, like I've said it before on the station. I think I said it today. Cousins is my favorite player on this team. He's not the best player. Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin are better players. Owen Power probably has more potential. Devin Levi, I think, has maybe even more star power than Dylan Cousins. But there's just something about Cousins that I'm like, that's my guy right there. And he hit 30 goals last night. And, like, I, like, had a physical reaction. Like, yeah, we're winning at that point. But I was like, yo, he hit 30. Like there's something about this team that I love the future that they have going in. It's so, so much fun to see and to experience and to see it happening live. I'm with Edward here. I was somebody, I'll put my hand right up in the air. I wanted Kevin Adams to make moves. I was big on Timo Meier. I was willing to get a little weird with it. I'm more than happy still to say that. And I'm fine to be wrong because I love this young group. You have guys like Yuri Kulich coming up and Matthew Savoy and even Noah Osland, just to name a few of the offensive pieces they have that they just drafted last year. I was somebody that was like, go make a move. Get crazy. You know, damn the process. Let's get after it. But it is probably better to pump the brakes a bit here. This is a young core. They're growing together. You've heard these guys like Peyton Krebs and Cousins and Dahlin, Jack Quinn talk about they want to play together. They want to win cups together. And I mentioned it in the first hour. I do look at this Sabres team, and I have a better feeling about them than I did the early Bills teams with Allen. Even in year three when they went 13-3 and it was like, oh, man, Josh Allen's arrived, and you know, Stephon Diggs is breaking Bills records. I didn't know if they could beat the Chiefs, and the AFC Championship game kind of proved that, and it really wasn't until next year's division round that I thought, hey, they can do something here. I look at this Sabres team, and they haven't even made the playoffs yet, but I sit here now, and I'm like, I like what's coming. I love what's coming. You look at Tage Thompson getting 90 points the first time since Briere. Dahlin fully arriving after being drafted first overall. A guy who wasn't being written off, but you just had question marks around. What is going on? Where's the Frölunda Dahlin, the guy that was drafted first overall? He's here now. Jeff Skinner, not a great contract still. Not a great contract. But he is absolutely deserving to be on this team. Him and Alex Tuch with Tage Thompson in that first line is vile. It is offensive. It hurts people. It is amazing to watch. It is so much fun to watch. Alex Tuch and Jeff Skinner both with 73 points. Jeff Skinner's highest point total of his career. Tage Thompson, as I said, over 90 points, net 92 now. Cousins at 31 goals. He had two last night. Dahlin, 69 points. This team is just, there's so much talent there. And a point I brought up a few times, but I do want to bring it up here before we take another quick timeout. There are old teams in the East. I only mentioned the young teams today, you know, with Ottawa and Detroit really being the main two when discussing the Sabres, especially early on in the year, really even before the year started. But you look at the older teams, even the one this year who's looking to break the all-time win record in Boston.
Yes, I was literally going to...
Like, that's the thing, is like they're an older roster. Pasternak, Allmark, and Swayman are really the young mm-hmm. guys. And Pasternak's, what, 26? I think Allmark's 27, 28?
Something like that.
So, it's not like they're 21 years old, and it's like, no. Like literally, the core is right there.
And their two best players are in the back nine of their career, probably maybe a
Absolutely.
Year or two later. We weren't sure if Bergeron was going to come back.
To be fair, going into this year, we all thought Boston was going to collapse now.
Yes.
Now, and to be fair, they have
not
done anything but that. But
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if next year Pittsburgh's that team.
Well, that's the thing. Pittsburgh this year, they're mm-hmm. likely not going to make the playoffs. They are falling apart. They are on fumes at best.
Seeing that in Washington,
and,
too.
In Washington, they're out. Pittsburgh, not officially out, but probably going to be out by the end of this weekend. Those are young teams there. And now, after this year, you can confidently leave. If you're a Sabres fan, you can confidently leave this year and say, of the Eastern young teams, we're the best of the three. We're the best of Detroit and Ottawa and Buffalo. We are the best one.
I feel like Detroit trade deadline, they were selling.
They were selling pretty hard. Ottawa was going after it. Ottawa, and my thing with Ottawa as well, you could also take solace in the fact that Ottawa has zero plan. Buffalo has a plan. Ottawa just throws stuff at a wall and hopes it stays. That is their plan, is just keep trying to make the playoffs, just keep throwing stuff at a wall and see what happens. They go get DeBrincat. They go get Jacob Chychrun this year in the deadline. They got Claude Giroux last year. They just keep going. They keep trying. And it's just nothing is working there. So you can take solace in the fact that if a team is going to take a step next year, to me, right now, it's the Sabres. Easily, it's the Sabres. And even here as well, Tampa, not looking that great to end the year. They're just not.
We're seeing chinks in the armor.
Maybe easily.
Maybe it's because of, I don't want to say fatigue is the right word, but where they've been in the last four Stanley Cup finals.
I was going to say, you could say fatigue, and I don't think you'd be wrong. They've played a lot of hockey over the last 4 years.
They were in the Cup final for the COVID year.
Mm-hmm.
Then the year after that where they were against Montreal.
They played a lot of hockey.
And then this year, this past year when they lost to Colorado.
Yep, they've played a lot of hockey. And they're also getting older. They have some pretty good young pieces. Braden Point is a blast to watch. He is so much fun. But
how long is
Vasilevskiy?
Thank you.
Goaltender, I'm not too worried about age-wise. I mean, I think I don't think he's 30 yet. So he's probably more than he's got years left. But even then, like, in terms of young talent, the Sabres are just going to keep bringing these guys in. I've said they've probably got too much forward talent anyways. They're probably going to have to trade some of these guys away for just clear-cut pieces either on defense or with, you know, their forwards. But I just look at the East and I'm like, guys, I'm fine. I'm all right. Maybe that's just me being a tad aggressive here. I get it. Let me know, 803-0550. But I love this group. I cannot wait for next year.
Vasilevskiy, he's 28.
Oh, yeah, he's got years ahead of him. But, yeah, I just going into next November, I'm a big summer guy. I think a lot of people know that if they've listened to me. I hate the cold. Not a fan. Today is 50% a good day because it's sunny. It's still like 30-something outside. But I'm sitting here with both the Bills and Sabres. Get me to fall, baby. Just get me to fall because I love these teams and I can't wait to see what they can do next year. Going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the show. One Bills Live has a day off. I'm Zach Jones and you're listening to WGR. Welcome back. We'll take a call before we get out of here for the day. We're going to go to Alex. Alex, what do you got for me, my man?
Hey, guys, I'll just listen to your hockey segment. First off, I want to say a big fan. I listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, thank you.
But
I definitely do believe the Sabres on the rise, and I think you guys are writing off the Pittsburgh Penguins a little too quick. Yes, they're getting a little older, but Crosby's arguably still a top five player in the league. Malkin's playing well. They're down three of their top six defensemen. Their goaltender's been up and down all year, and I think they probably will make the playoffs this year. But unless what they do next off season, then I think next year will be the end of their run.
Well, Alex, how many more years do you give Crosby and Malkin? I mean, that was a storyline this offseason that Malkin may not even come back.
I'll say, you know, I live here in the Pittsburgh area, but I've been a diehard Bills fan since I can remember. But Crosby's 35. Crosby's not slowing down.
I will give you Crosby.
Letang's not slowing down. Malkin, maybe a year or two. He's still prone to his stupid mistakes he makes all the time, but we're willing to deal with it. And we just go in our general manager on Hextall, which was stupid that we got him from Philadelphia, which are our big arch nemesis, you know what I mean? But I get your point, but I'm not ready to write off the Penguins yet.
All right, thanks for the call, Alex. They are old and they are on fumes, and they are the Detroit Red Wings from a few years ago, where they were very dominant for a long time, and they are afraid of the word rebuild, and I can understand why, but Pittsburgh is one of those teams where they're going to come up with these young teams, and I just do not know if they're going to be able to really and truthfully compete with. I'd even say, you know, I'll throw this young Detroit team in there as well, and Ottawa as well, but with them coming up and kind of smelling blood in the water, and that's what it's going to be, I don't know how guys like Crosby and Malkin are going to deal with it. Like Crosby, I'll give you absolutely. Letang, I'm up and down about. He's dealt with injuries as well and some health scares. And then Malkin, again, it sounded like he was out the door last year and that this was kind of a bit of a last dance scenario. Pittsburgh, to me, it's just they're just not there anymore. And on the they'll probably make the playoffs. I mean, they're out of a spot right now, and they are falling, and they're falling fast. New Jersey just ran through them the other night, 6-1 or 6-0, and Florida just seems to be playing maybe their best hockey of the season. Alex Lyon winning, I think, Player of the Week. He had 56 saves last night against, Columbus or somebody like that? I mean, just absolutely incredible what Florida's doing. That's going to do it for me today. I'll be joining Shope and the Bulldog coming up next. One Bills Live will come back on Monday as well. Happy Easter, everyone. You're listening to WGR. I just look at the East and I'm like, oh, guys, I'm fine. I'm all right. Maybe that's just me being a tad aggressive here. I get it. Let me know, 803-0550. But I love this group. I cannot wait for next year.
Vasilevsky, he's 28.
Oh, yeah, he's got years ahead of him. But, yeah, going into next November, I'm a big summer guy. I think a lot of people know that if they've listened to me. I hate the cold. Not a fan. Today is 50% a good day because it's sunny. It's still like 30-something outside. But I'm sitting here with both the Bills and Sabres. Get me to fall, baby. Just get me to fall because I love these teams, and I can't wait to see what they can do next year. Going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up the show. One Bills Live has a day off. I'm Zach Jones, and you're listening to WGR. Welcome back. We'll take a call before we get out of here for the day. We're going to go to Alex. Alex, what do you got for me, my man?
Hey, guys. I was just listening to your hockey segment. First off, I want to say a big fan. I listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, thank you.
But I definitely do believe the Sabres are on the rise. And I think you guys are writing off the Pittsburgh Penguins a little too quick. Yes, they're getting a little older, but Crosby's arguably still a top five player in the league. Malkin's playing well. They're down three of their top six defensemen. Their goaltender has been up and down all year, and I think they probably will make the playoffs this year. But unless what they do next off season, then I think next year will be the end of their run.
Well, Alex, how many more years do you give Crosby and Malkin? I mean, that was a storyline this offseason that Malkin may not even come back.
I'll say, you know, I live here in the Pittsburgh area, but I've been a diehard Bills fan since I can remember. But Crosby's 35. Crosby's not slowing down.
I'll give you Crosby. I will give you Crosby.
Letang's not slowing down. Malkin, maybe a year or two. He's still prone to his stupid mistakes he makes all the time, but we're willing to deal with it. And we just go in our general manager on Hextall, which was stupid that we got him from Philadelphia, which are our big arch nemesis, you know what I mean? But I get your point, but I'm not ready to write off the Penguins yet.
All right, thanks for the call, Alex. They are old and they are on fumes. And they are the Detroit Red Wings from a few years ago where they were very dominant for a long time. And they are afraid of the word rebuild. And I can understand why, but Pittsburgh is one of those teams where they're going to come up with these young teams. And I just do not know if they're going to be able to really and truthfully compete with, I'll throw this young Detroit team in there as well and Ottawa as well, but with them coming up and kind of smelling blood in the water, and that's what it's going to be, I don't know how guys like Crosby and Malkin are going to deal with it. Like Crosby, I'll give you absolutely. Letang, I'm up and down about. He's dealt with injuries as well and some health scares. And then Malkin, again, it sounded like he was out the door last year and that this was kind of a bit of a last dance scenario. Pittsburgh, to me, it's just they're just not there anymore. And on the they'll probably make the playoffs. I mean, they're out of a spot right now, and they are falling, and they're falling fast. New Jersey just ran through them the other night, 6-1 or 6-0, and Florida just seems to be playing maybe their best hockey of the season. Alex Lyon winning, I think, Player of the Week. He had 56 saves last night against, Columbus or somebody like that? I mean, just absolutely incredible what Florida's doing. That's going to do it for me today. I'll be joining Shope and the Bulldog coming up next. One Bills Live will come back on Monday as well. Happy Easter, everyone. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.